All right, Genesis chapter number 46. Genesis 46. Hope you have a special day today. Hope your dads feel loved and appreciated. Man, that one asked, what do you want? Peace in the home. Just do right. Man, there would be no greater joy, right? And Genesis chapter number 46, starting in verse 29. Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father. Again, if you remember the story here, I won't spend a lot of time on the backstory, but Joseph has been separated from his family for a number of years. He was originally sold, and he found himself in Potiphar's house, spent some time in jail, falsely accused, got out, and now he is second to Pharaoh. There was a time of increase, 7 years of bounty, and then they hit the 7 years of drought. And the Lord used that and brought his brothers to him, who originally did not think well of Joseph and wanted to get rid of him. They said that he had been killed, and they lied about that. And as we read now, Joseph is being rekindled, reunited with his entire family. A long story, but I want to get past all that. And starting again in verse 29, and Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck. Sounds like down south, brother. A good while. That means longer than a moment. And again, you can imagine. Thinking your son was gone and all of a sudden he's alive. Maybe thinking you'll never see your father again and you see him and what that reunion was like. And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die since I have seen thy face because thou art yet alive. He says, I'm old. I have really nothing else to live for. I've seen my son. I am complete. Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, my brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. Now it's important, the wording of verse 32. This is Joseph speaking to Pharaoh. And he says, my family is here, they're shepherds. And he says this, and they trade and feed cattle. Cattle were okay. It shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? Now, again, Joseph has been in Pharaoh's house. He looks different now. He knows the language. He knows the culture. He knows things. And he's giving his family some advice. He says, here's what you need to say. When you get to the border, right? Today we're going to Canada. Joe's like, hey, can I bring a knife? I said, you cannot. He's like, why not? I said, because I don't want to spend... I don't know. I don't know if you can or not, but I'm just telling you not to. I don't want any problems at the border. When we get to the border, when they ask your name, don't fool around. Don't say your name's Peter Pan. Don't say you belong and, that you've been kidnapped and these aren't your real parents. It's not time to fool around. And Joseph's telling his brethren, hey, when you're standing before Pharaoh and he says, what is your occupation? That ye shall say, thy servants have been about cattle from our youth, even until now, both we and also our fathers. Then ye may dwell in the land of Goshen, because for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Let's pray. Mr. Parrott, I'm going to ask you to pray, and let's see... Brother Primer, can you pray after him? All right. Go ahead, Mr. Parent. Amen. Lord, as we continue, I too thank you for today. God, thank you for the men in our lives that have helped us get closer to you. Whether it was our father or another man of the church people that have taken their time to teach us your word. God, as we open it yet again, God, you tell us that if we are burdened and heavy laden, that we could come to you, and God, you will give us rest. And Lord, I come to you just, Lord, needy of you, and Lord, I'm leaning on you, and Lord, I pray that you bless the message here this morning, and God, use it for your honor and glory. Help us with this. Lord, we sure do need you right now. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Pretty clear passage. Again, he tells Joseph, he says, listen, I know the ways here. We've spent some time in foreign countries and places, and when the person that lives there tells you what to do, you do it. When we were in Zambia, they say, do not take a picture of any public building. You cannot. Any sort of policeman or any sort of government building, do not take a picture of that. They'll come, they'll confiscate it, your camera, they'll break your thing, and there's a good chance they'll put you in jail. Last place you want to be is in jail in Zambia. So you know what we did? We went around taking pictures of it. No, we listened to what they said. They said, when in Mexico, don't drink the water. So you know what we do? When we get to Mexico, we're not putting our face underneath the hose and drinking water. Why? Because, I mean, you can, but it's not going to go good. You're going to have to make a run to the store and get some things to stop some things. Anyways, so when you don't know the culture, and Joseph says, here's what you say. Listen, I'm so glad you're here. I'm glad everybody's here. I'm going to present you to Pharaoh. Pharaoh. And he's going to ask you what your occupation is. Tell him you take care of cattle. Because shepherds are abomination. So, it's a little foreshadowing. You can already see what... Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds... All that they have in chapter 47 are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, what is your occupation? We've been preparing for this. We've gone over it in the car. We told them on the way here that Benjamin was sitting in the back, and we were talking in the chariot and said, okay, when they ask this, this is what you say. And he says, immediately, what is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds. Nothing about the cattle, both we and also our fathers. They said, moreover, unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come. For thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee, and the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen that they dwell. For if thou knowest any... This is our passage here. In Genesis 47 and verse number 6. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. How did it go? Well, there were five representatives, and they all stood before Pharaoh. And he says, all right, here's what I want you to say. I want you to say you take care of cattle. And he gets there, and he says, what do you do? And he says, we take care of sheep. Hey, there's something wonderful about being true to who you are. Are you a believer in the Lord? Oh, this isn't going to go good for me. I'm just going to sneak this underneath. When the brethren sought to get rid of Joseph, here he seeks to get them settled. He rendered good for evil. He took, and he tells them that you take care of cattle. And they said, we have sheep. We're shepherds. Oh. And Pharaoh says, all right, here's where you get. You get the land of Goshen. That's our best land. And that'll be good for you. Aren't you glad they were honest? Yeah. Well, I don't know. Sometimes, as men, you got to cut corners a little bit. No. And Pharaoh says, so much so, hey, you know what I would like? I'd like some of your men to oversee my cattle. It is no secret that the enemy of God would gladly steal the role of man and blur the distinction to cause confusion among his creation. Do we not see that today? So what are we looking for? We're looking for some men of activity. I thought that was a great phrase. Men of activity. There is a movement of men of, may I say, quite the opposite, men of laziness. You want me to be at work at what time? 9 o'clock? And you want me to work till 5? I'm sorry. Physically, I just can't do that. Men of activity. That's our message here today. As they went back and forth and they established, there was something unique about the men coming from Jacob's house. And Pharaoh saw it. He saw it in Joseph, and he saw it in the brethren. He says, you guys know how to work. You know how to work. I'm telling you, you get a job today, just show up on time. Do your job. Don't cause drama. And man, before long, you're going to be a manager. Why? Because there's no men of activity. There's a season of lazy. Oh, no, you just relax. See what you can get from people. See what you can take. No, don't be active. You know what we need? We need some men of activity. What does that look like? Well, number one, in this passage, what set them apart? What was so distinct? Their work ethic. Work ethic. I've told you this story. I remember it distinctly. We're at my grandfather's house. I was 14 years old. I turned 15 in January. It was a family get-together at summertime in Buffalo. I go and see my grandfather. This is my dad's dad. He lives in Buffalo. We're from Buffalo. I moved here when I was like 6 months old, but all of our family is back there. So all our family get-togethers was always in Buffalo. That summer, I was 14, and I remember going and seeing my grandfather, giving him a kiss on either cheek, and he says, what are you doing here? It's a family get-together. And he asked me this. I'm 14. He says, why aren't you working? I said, I can't even work until I'm 15. I think the man was driving a tractor-trailer truck at 13. What are you doing here? So what impacted? It's been 30 years and I still remember that conversation. There was something about hard work. There's something about, hey, when, I don't know how they, if they shook hands, but Pharaoh put his hand in the hands of those sons of Jacob and said, wow, these men know how to work. Ever shake a farmer's hand? Our neighbor, he's a farmer. I think he can take the lug nuts off my truck with his hands. Bare hands, just, he's not big, but he's got that. You shake his hand, it's like you've been in the field today. You're a man of activity. You know what time? He comes home to have lunch at 9 a.m. Man of activity. He works hard. You know what? When I have a question about something, you know what I do? I call him. Hey, I got this thing that's stuck or broken. And there we were. We had our lawnmower in the middle of our little side road. And he's driving down. He's like, what's wrong? We're like, well, we can't get this thing on. He's like, hold on. He brings out a bar out of the back of his truck. And we need to pry it. He's like, that's not going to work. He brings another bar out. Then all of a sudden, I'm like, what is it? It's like Mary Poppins' bag. He just, what is he? He was a man of activity. He knew hard work. Here's a phrase from years past. Hey, how about we man up? What does that look like? Oh, you can't tell people to be like a man. That's exactly what we need. We need some men to start acting like men. Men of activity. The ability to work hard. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29 to be diligent in business. What does it look like to work hard? Does that mean, now there's an extreme to these things. I understand. And we're going to look at three different activities and somehow balance them all. Understand this. Say, I'm a lady here. This really isn't, you pray for your husband and you pray for men. You, if you're married here today, and you encourage your man to do this. You understand what I'm saying? You help him. Say, well, I'm 12 years old. I'm 13 years old. Hey, this is what you should be striving for. This is what you should be going after. Hey, I'm a 18-year-old girl. This is what you should be looking for.
Yes, sir.
This is what we should be trying to make. Amount of activity that can, their work activity, that can work hard. Hey, if you're a young man and you're afraid to work, go get a job with a farmer. Say, they don't pay anything. Yeah, you will learn a life lesson just one summer with a farmer. It'll be well worth it. I promise you. You'll learn the value of hard work. How about it, Grandpa Haight? Moving hay over a summer? Does your arm still itch from it? You can still feel it? When the Bible talks about hard work, it over and over again uses the word diligence. That means a dedication. That means not quitting. That means when work gets hard, you know what? I'm just going to go find something else. I don't like this. I had the blessing this week. We're handing out John and Romans, one up the road here. There was a guy, old John Deere mower, old guy. Walk up to his house, and he's out there, and he makes the turn on the mower, and we're looking face to face, shuts the thing down, introduces himself, says his first and last name, shakes my hand. After 15 minutes, I know that he was in the United States Army. He worked for 30 years at one company. Retired, sir, and then worked. He's like, I was only 55. I had a full retirement. I was going to go crazy. I had to find something else to do. Worked another 10 or 15 years. 90-year-old guy. 90. Out there mowing his lawn. His wife passed away in 2019. He has 4 cats that live inside the house. There's 19 cats that he fed yesterday morning. Outside. It looks like the Golden Corral for cats on his porch. Sweetest old man. Sweetest man. What was he? He was diligent. You think he didn't have a supervisor that didn't rub him the wrong way? You think he didn't have a... You didn't think the job got hard? Being a mechanic? Diligent in business. Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4, if you're diligent, you'll be made fat. Whine and complain that you don't have anything. Get to work. Get to work. Bible tells us those that can work hard will eventually rule. Rule those that don't want to work. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. There's going to be a balance here. Yes, I don't think it's wise to every work shift pull a double. Say, what does that mean? Instead of 8 hours, work 16 hours. That isn't wise. Why? Because you have other responsibilities. There's other activities, Dad, that you ought to be about. Man, that you ought to be about. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 9 and verse 10, though, it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, how shall we do it? Do with all thy might. Do with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. He says, and the time to work is now. You start procrastinating, you're going to find that your life goes by quick. Quick. Again, I was talking to the seniors, and they just had their graduation ceremony last Sunday, and I'm not sure if it was one of them or another student, and they said, man, this year went by so quick. Oh. It's just walking right now. Wait till you get a little way down the road. You're going to be on a bullet train. I literally, not because I'm not, maybe because I'm getting a little soft in the head, but I literally have to think of what year is it? Not what day, not what month, what year is it? Why? Because it goes so fast. Hey, the time to get busy is right now. Well, you know what? I'll do hard work later. No, no, today is the day. You don't know what tomorrow is. One of the greatest enemies of hard work is the word procrastination. What set these men apart? They were men of activity. You know what? When they shook their hand, he knew that they knew the way around the field and knew hard work. Hey, if you work at an office, I'm not saying you got to have rugged hands. I'm just saying you know what it means to work. Some of our guys, I know Brother Primer, he gets up in the middle of the night and he goes to work and he works 10 or 12 hour days and he works hard and he retired as a Navy chief and he doesn't have to do that. What is that? He's a man of activity. So how do you know? Because I've traveled internationally with him. You know who the last to bed was? Brother Primer. You know who made us breakfast and coffee every morning? Brother Primer and Brother Sutliff. We'd wake up full spread. He had a little apron. He looked so cute. Anyway, man of activity. Man of activity. Hey, where's Dad? Oh, he's sitting on the couch. Yeah, but we're growing elephants out front. The windows are broken. The car doesn't run right. I understand that. You can only do what you can do. But if you're being lazy when there's things to be done. Work, activity. So, Pastor, can you move on? I'm about done with that point. All right. Yeah, we can. Men of activity. Number one, work activity. Number two, family activity. Ephesians chapter number 5. Again, this takes balance. If you neglect one area, you won't be able to fulfill the role in the other. Say, what does that mean? You're going to be an awful husband if you can't get a job. That's going to be tough to provide for your home if you can't work. Ephesians chapter number 5. Family of activity, the two roles of a man in a home is husband and father. The husband is described as this. Number one, 3 points here. Number one, look at verse 21. Submitting yourself one to another. No, the woman's supposed to submit. Oh, she does, but you're supposed to submit to her too. Often overlooked and neglected. I recognize that there can be an abuse on both ends of the spectrum. Say, what does that mean? An abuse of lack of compassion and taking a role too far, neglecting things, twisting the scriptures. But there also can be a swing to the other side, which our society is seeing. If you walked into a sociology class in college and start teaching about the roles of husband and wife according to the scriptures, you wouldn't be able to get a word out. Because it is so far the other way that it is so broken. You've seen it. You take your family out publicly. There will be people that come up and say, I so appreciate your family. Say, I don't know you. Yeah, but they just see it. To watch your family pray at a public place for dinner or just the communication or something like that. It's seen. So I understand there's two extremes of it, an abuse of it or a complete neglect of it. But just because there's an abuse of on either side doesn't mean we can't do right down the middle. Say, what does that mean? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Hey, gentlemen, it's very wise for you to say, hey, sweetheart, what do you think about this? I'm just letting you know, she sees things differently than you. Say, yeah, no kidding, to your better. Submitting yourself one to another. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Verse 28. So ought a man to love their wife as their own bodies. Number one, a husband ought to be submitted. Number two, he ought to love. Do you care? Well, she'll figure it out. I don't think that's how Christ treats us. And that's the comparison. As Jesus loved the church, so ought a man love his care and care for his wife. Hey, we need a man of activity. What kind of activity? Family activity. Biblical family activity. There is an abandonment of godly roles in the home. I understand it'll get quiet on that. I get it. But you get back to what God says about things, and I promise you, it's just going to go a lot better for you. In verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. If the husband is the head of the wife and the head of the home, three things he demonstrates. Number one, again, submission to one another. Number two, a love for one another. In that love, may I say, you want to be a strong man, love Jesus. And thirdly, the head of the home, he produces security. So, oh yeah, we got a deadbolt. Dad's got like a password on the thing. It can't even get it. It's like Fort Knox trying it. No, that's not what I'm talking about. A home of safety. A home of protection, a home of guidance. When man fulfills his role toward his wife, when he submits to her and loves her and offers security, there's no stopping. There's no stopping what that home can do for the Lord, because it's God's way. And I understand the world wants to turn that thing upside down and steal that blessing and steal that wisdom and power there. But don't let the world take a hold of that. Dad, you be who you're supposed to be. Not just a husband, but a father. Ephesians 6:1, we love this verse, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But may I say, if children are to obey their parents, dad has got to give some instruction to parents. There's got to be some instruction for them to obey. Oftentimes, I don't know what's worse. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what's worse. Parents that just completely neglect their children and let them make decisions for themselves, or bad parents. Say, what does that mean? Telling them things that are contrary to the scriptures. I think the latter is better than the first. Say, why? Because you can at least instruct that and bring that back around. With a child that's just been neglected, you know what they're doing? They're making decisions that they think are honestly best for themselves. That's tough to undo. Yes, sir. So children need to obey their parents, sure. But if that's the case, parents need to teach their children. I'm not sure if you're aware, but that takes some time. The other day, Pastor Seaton texted me, and we were supposed to meet at a certain time. He texted me, hey, going to be about 15 minutes late. Had a teaching moment at home. I understand what that's code for. I get it. You know what he wanted to do? I'll tell you, as a dad, I know. Wanted to get in the car and pretend that everything's okay. But how can children obey parents if we never instruct them? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Yesterday, the boys were, my son plays on a baseball team. And we had an away game all the way in Sweden, Clarkson. All the way way over off of Redmond, it's far. And there they were, and we were all on the sidelines. And I was on the other side, and sitting there watching the game, and the other team was up at bat, And the one kid, man, he hit it good. He hit it good. And he made it all the way to second. The double's tough. And they made it out to the outfield. And the minute he got on base, this was the other team. And we saw it. I was standing right next to the Sutliffs, and I thought, man, that is exactly what it should be. The minute that young boy got on base, you know what he did? Dad, you see that? I told you I'd do it. Man, that melted my heart. Why? Because children want to obey their parents. Children want to bring glory to their parents. Children want to honor and please their parents. The first thing he wanted, the recognition, was from his parent. Dad, did you see that? If we're to be men of activity in a godly family, a child just wants to please the father. Dad, are you pleasable? Think about that. Are you pleasable? Dad, I mowed. You missed the spot. Dad, I shoveled. The walkway's not done. Dad, can I help you with that? You don't know what you're doing. Are you pleasable? Are you available? That young boy, that 11-year-old boy, when he got to second base, and he looks over at the crowd and says, wish my dad was here. Are you available? Are you involved? Are you the example? Know what children want? They want everything. They want new shoes. They want new video games. They want their own room. They want this. They want that. They want this. They want... No. They just want time with you. They just want you. Men of activity, a work activity, family activity. Lastly, 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. In verse 13. Watch ye stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. Men of work activity. Men of family activity. Lastly, men of spiritual activity. Watch ye stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. Joshua 1:9 says, have not I commanded you, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Maybe you're a young man sitting here today and say, I've never seen it done right, I don't know what to do. Well, God has given us an example, has he not? He tells us, watch ye. Can you see spiritual things? See, like ghosts? No, not what I'm talking about. You see what's going on. Back in the Old Testament, there was the children of Issachar understood the times, knew what was happening, recognized that there is a lust of the flesh and the pride of life, and understand the conflict between man and the spirit. Can you see those things? 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Dad, husband, man of God, are you even aware that that thing is happening? You understand that you're in a spiritual battle? Are you a man of spiritual activity? Can you see what God is doing around you? As ye watch ye, I'll tell you this, if you're picking up what you're seeing, it will propel you to your knees and in the Word of God. Say why? Because that's our only hope. Prayer and dedication to the Word of God. If you're seeing things, if you're able, if you're a man of God, and you look on the horizon and go, wow, this is where this ship is going. Lord, I need you. Lord, what's it say? What do you want for me? Because if you see it, that's where you'll run. It says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. I know these words are somewhat, we feel like opposites. How do I stand fast? Like, no, it means stand strong, that don't move. Have some standards. Have some convictions. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. I know I've touched on this the last couple times, and I'll try and make it the last time unless the world continues to keep going this way. But there is a movement out there that says, oh, you've been hurt by the word of God. You need compensation. You need license. Oh, you've been someone told you you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And you're ruining your life because you're going contrary to the Word of God. How dare they? Stand fast. Hold the traditions which you have been taught. Have some convictions. Hey, Dad, what can you do? Hey, husband, what can you do? Hey, man of God, what should you do? I want to be a man of activity. Yes, work hard. Yes, run your home. But how about you and the Lord? Stand fast in the faith. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. I'm not sure if you're aware, God does allow us to do everything, but we ought not to. There are some things that'll hurt us, that'll hinder our walk with the Lord. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Hey, we've been set free from some things, Jake. It'd be dumb to re-yoke up again with that. 1 Corinthians 15:58. I love this verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The devil will convince you that what you're doing is worthless and has no merit. And God says, no, don't listen to that. It's worthwhile. Don't quit. Stand fast. I say don't quit, and our next point is quit ye like men. I say, what does that mean? Hey, quit being immature. Leave some things behind and be a man. 30 years old, calling up mom to come put you to bed. Say, that's weird. Yeah, no kidding. What happened? You didn't quit being a little kid. You didn't grow up. Good thing to teach our young men is to be independent, to have their own walk with the Lord. I can't teach my children everything. There's no possible way. There's no way I'll always be with them or I'll always be able to give them instruction for everything. But I can show them where to go. I can teach them what the Word of God says, that when presented, now they have their own walk with the Lord, and the Holy Spirit inside is saying, don't do that. Stay away from that. Why? Because they've learned to listen to God. Quit you like men, be a man, be a godly man. Be strong. What does it mean to be strong? Listen to this. Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Our strength isn't a dictatorship or being a tyrant. It is the complete opposite. Our strength is a complete dependence on God for courage and strength and wisdom. It's me saying, God, I have no idea what I'm doing. Can you show me? Because I know in my own strength I don't have it. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. And then verse 14. 1 Corinthians 16. It says, let all your things be done with charity. See, that doesn't sound very manly. The greatest man I ever met, hands down, not even close, like has spots number 1 through 1, 2, 3, like the second one, Jesus Christ. The strongest man I've ever met. So why do you say that? What he demonstrated and what he showed and the restraint he put on himself and the self-control, I don't care how much you can lift. I don't care how much you can push. To be able to control your spirit far exceeds any muscle. Internal strength, the ability to say, I know what's coming and not my will, but thine be done. His love and compassion that he showed us, strongest guy I ever met. And it tells us, let all your things be done with charity. As we remember, the very first fruit of the Spirit is love. It is the building block to all things godly. 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 7 says, it is to be added to all of our actions. To this, add this, to this, to add this. So everything gets charity added to it. So as we conclude, are you a man of activity? What kind of activity? Work activity. Godly family activity. Spiritual activity. What are you known for? Are you known for being loving and gracious and caring? Say, no, I'm not. Well, start now. Pray for your dad. Pray for your husband. Pray that God would bring you one of these men. Our girls are shopping for things. This is a very unique circumstance, Jacob. I have $100 in my pocket. See what we're going to do with it. I have no idea. I could spend it on a lot of things. Young ladies, sure, you could buy a lot of things. But be careful. Look for one of these guys. If you're a young man here today and you're not that, well, now you have a goal. You have an aim. Not because Pastor Russo said so. Because God said so. Let's all stand. Tonight we're going to be in Canada. It was kind of neat saying, I was telling my father-in-law yesterday, I said, tomorrow I get to teach and preach 3 different times in 2 different countries. I'm not sure if Canada really counts as a different country, but. And I'm going to share and conclude up there to their young people a little bit of this thought. At 14, 15, 16, in my life, some seeds got planted. I planted them on purpose. I'm 30 years from that now. And those were some of the best decisions I ever made. Say, well, I'll make those decisions now. As a young man, I made some decisions about some things of what I was going to do or what I was going to be, and that really helped. 10, 15, 20, 30 years later. Say, it's too late. Plant the seeds now. I'm not sure if you're aware, but every single year the farmer plants again and goes through the whole cycle again. Say, well, I missed last season. Well, start this season. You'll reap. You'll reap. Say, our home isn't what it ought to be. Well, what are you doing to fix it? My relationship with the Lord isn't what it should be. What are you doing to fix it? You continue in course, you'll not get to where you want to be. Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless this time of invitation here today. Lord, we have men that are dedicated to their homes, to their workplace, and to you, and to which I say thank you. But God, I know in my own heart there's areas I've got to improve. And Lord, I thank you for showing me those things. Lord, I pray that you'd help us here today. I pray if maybe today a young man, a 25-year-old, a 15-year-old, someone that doesn't have all the things settled yet, that they would come and just tell you that they're serious about this and that they would seek you first in decisions. God, I pray that today some husbands would come and pour out their heart and say, God, I've messed some things up and I want to fix things. I want to do things right. And God, today would be a turn for a home. Lord, if someone here today is broken with you and their fellowship has been askew, that today it would be mended. Lord, help us with these things. Bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here today? Amen.